another visitor. Stay a while. Stay forever.
This is The Boop Show, episode 134, for some date I don't know, with Scott and Brian. Yeah! Alright, so the date is the 20th of May. Sorry, I couldn't see
what
it.
What even is the day?
What even is this day? Today is Saturday, and it's The Boop Show. That's when we do it now. And Brian, it's, as always, my pleasure to hang out with you today.
Oh, truly my pleasure. I'm still digesting my cinnamon toast crunch.
Oh, no way. Look at you going all, that's an 80s throwback for me. That's when I
had
cinnamon
toast
crunch.
Yeah, man, it's Saturday. Got to have my cereal in the morning time.
Yeah, yeah.
Big old heavy milk meal.
Yeah, but
great.
For you, isn't it, let's see, it's 11:41 here. So it's like 1:41 over there.
You don't have to shame me. I know I ate cereal after 12.
All right. Hey, I'm not judging anybody. I had a, right. I had a corn dog from a gas station yesterday. So I don't have any room. Do I have room to complain or to criticize? No, is the answer. I do not.
Ugh.
Well, it's been a good, been an interesting week for gaming, actually. We're going to talk all about it here in a second, but I wanted to tell you about the least cool thing I found in my replay through GTA 5.
The least cool thing.
Yeah, and I'd forgotten about it in my first run back when the game was new. I had forgotten that there was this sequence of quests that you had to do in order to progress the story along with Trevor, not Franklin, yeah. Not Michael, but Trevor.
Yeah, old pimply face.
Yeah.
Big giant mole on his face, Trevor.
Yeah, Trevor, the horrible, sadistic, awful man who is the greatest character ever, Trevor. That guy.
Right, right.
Ever
Trevor.
You know him from, let's see, the current season or last season of Walking Dead. He was in, he's in lots of stuff. He always plays, the guy that plays him who did the mocap and the voice is always this like dirty, horrible character. Anyway, right. The point is, there's this sequence you can't skip that you have to play through where you go to a shipping yard and you got to move containers around a shipping yard at the port of San Andreas. So you got to like use heavy machinery, like big cranes and stuff, pick up this container, take it over to the other place, put it where it goes. Don't
wait. That sounds cool.
Oh, it's cool from a, like the people who probably like this are like those trucking simulator people. Who like the trucking simulator European edition people. They probably love this, but I don't. It's like tedious. It really slowed down the pace of the game. I'm over it now. I'm through it, and it's great now.
Right.
But, man, that whole sequence is just a bummer. It's just moving boxes from one place to another in big, unwieldy machinery. And if you fall off of one of those machines, you die. And that's trouble,
right.
As you know.
Right. I wouldn't fall off the machine, first off. So is it kind of, I'm trying to remember, is the game mechanic kind of like Tetris, where you stack them, or is it
not even
like
that? It's even dumber than that. That I could live with. It's just they're big replicas of actual stuff you see on shipping yards, and you get up inside of the little cab or whatever they call them, and you drive these big crane machines over, and you hover over shipping containers, and you slowly bring down the things, and you have to grapple it just right, and then you pull it up, and then you got to move it across to another place and set it in just the right place. It's just a lot of precise garbage. It's not fun. It's dumb. It's lame. I can't believe they put it in there. I think maybe they were just trying to show off, hey, look what this game can do. Look at the scale of this. Look how, you know, look how diverse everything is. And I totally get that, but it's kind of like, what's it like? It's like watching Star Wars and then having the whole middle act of Star Wars have you sitting around, you know, flipping a coin or something in the movie or something dumb like that. That doesn't make any sense what I just said, but
doesn't
you know what I mean.
Yeah, I didn't know where he was going with that. That's good.
Yeah,
I like that.
I have no
so
scenario.
Damn it, Trevor.
Yeah, Trevor. It's always Trevor. Always dicking around, making life hard for me. So screw Trevor and his wicked ways. Also, I've been playing mostly Mario Kart, if I'm being honest. Lots and lots and lots of Mario Kart. I played with some fans. We did a little stream. I'm going to do more of that. Mario Kart on the Switch is great.
Can I see that on the YouTube?
Yeah, I put it all up. Well, you can see me swearing like a sailor on the YouTube. I basically did a highlight reel of all the terrible moments.
Yeah.
And
I'd like to call it the shit show because I watched the video you sent it to me.
Yeah, you've seen it. It's bad.
Yeah.
I mean, it's me.
Good.
It's me dropping the S-bomb constantly, and you can find it at youtube.com/Scott Johnson. It's one of the most recent videos there, and you can see that if you'd like to. I don't know why people would, but we did that live, and we also got to play with fans, and we will do that more, I believe, in the future. I think I'm pretty convinced Mario Kart 8 Deluxe is the ultimate Mario Kart ever. Like, it really is the culmination of all the things that have ever been good in that series. And it looks great, and it runs great. 60 frames per second everywhere you go, whatever you do. It's just a very polished, well-made video game that a lot of people got their fill with on the Wii U in terms of its core gameplay, but I didn't so much, but I really am now. I like it so much, Brian, I bought another Pro controller, and those are not cheap or very hard, easy to find.
Right.
That's how weird I am. So now I've got two Pro controllers, plus the ones that are, you know, the Joy-Cons on the sides of the thing that can be also used as two controllers. So I can have four people playing that thing now.
Right.
The trick is, who's the loser in the room that has to use the Joy-Cons and not the Pro controllers, right? I always feel a little guilty about that.
You don't. Not so guilty that you'll give it up.
No, I'm not giving it up.
Right.
F that noise. Use the little thing there, buddy. It's okay. Right. It turns. You get to swerve and shoot shit. Like, you got all you need. You may not have the fidelity I have, but you'll live. It's mostly
count
the kids.
Yourself lucky you're even here.
Yeah. The kids get the little controllers. That's how I do it.
Right.
Anyway, so that's all going on. We got lots to talk about. Let's dive in. This week, the big news was Destiny 2's announcement.
And everywhere.
Its formal unveiling. I mean, I guess it wasn't an announcement. We knew it was coming, but they did a whole like event around it, showed off new features, talked about the game, where it's progressed, how it's different than Destiny 1. The big news by far was that it's coming to PC, which I think we all assumed, but that it's coming exclusively to, wait for it, the Blizzard launcher.
What?
Yep, that's the deal. How weird is this? So, it's pretty weird. Blizzard and Activision, same parent company now, have been since 2008, so that's not that strange. But Activision, as up till now, has never put anything on the Blizzard launcher, and Blizzard has only put their games on the Blizzard launcher. Mm-hmm. And there were always rumors out there that, oh, they could expand and become a little bit like Steam if they wanted to, and, you know, add a bunch of new stuff or whatever. I don't think they have any desire to do that, but I think this makes a bunch of sense. First of all, Bungie and the game Destiny itself they're very Blizzard friendly kind of developers, right? And publishers. They're kind of cut from the same cloth. Those guys all sort of came up at the same time. They're revered in a similar way, although maybe not quite as much as Blizzard. But they're also being published by Activision. They have this exclusive deal with Activision. And it kind of makes sense that if you're going to be on PC, maximize your very popular, highly regarded launcher platform, like the Blizzard launcher. People love that thing.
Does it make you feel a little dirty?
At first, I'll be totally honest with you. You know, I'm a like lifetime Blizzard freak. I love everything they do. So when I saw the launcher pop up with just the little announcement graphic on it about Destiny 2 coming to the launcher, even that feels a little weird.
Yeah,
because it's not a Blizzard game. So I'm trying to temper that with, you know, understanding that as human beings, you know, we like patterns. We like to detect patterns. And when a change happens, we go, oh, change. We don't like change.
I don't like it.
So I'm trying to temper that and keep that to the side the best I can. But yeah, it's a little weird. But it's also Destiny itself you could argue there's no Destiny without predecessors like Diablo and World of Warcraft and other games that this game heavily borrows from. So it's really, I mean, that game is, Destiny has always been sort of aspects of Warcraft, but even maybe more aspects of Diablo. Kill stuff, get loot, improve your character, advance, you know, your RPG-ness and all that stuff. It's very Blizzard at its core. So gameplay-wise, it's actually a pretty good fit. Also, the fact that it'll use the all the same sort of back-end features, including voice chat, which is really good on Battle.net. It's excellent voice chat. And I use that all the time for Heroes of the Storm and Overwatch and whatever. That will also be a Destiny thing. So my friends in Battle.net I'll know that they are playing whatever they're playing, like you already do now. I'll say, oh, look, my three friends that I want to play Destiny with are on. I'll get with them and let's do a little four-man something-something. And I don't ever have to leave the place I'm mostly in anyway. And I can tell you this, there is a huge swath of Blizzard fans who probably had no inclination or desire or plans to play Destiny 2 necessarily that will now for sure play it. Because
it's interesting you should say that, because I was kind of on the fence about Destiny 2, but if it's going to be coming through my Blizzard, my battle launcher, I'm kind of interested just a little bit more.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Isn't that weird? It's weird. It's weird.
It is weird. I feel safe and secure when I'm in Battle.net. I feel like I'm amongst friends. I feel safe and tight knit. It kind of disturbs me, though, they're going to be bringing something in that's not quite all family. You know what I mean? It feels like it's kind of like a distant cousin. It's like, yeah, okay, come on in here. Yeah. Just don't touch, don't steal nothing.
It's your weird uncle that spent a little time in jail. You're not sure if he's going to steal something. Like, yeah, it's. I agree. There is definitely that feeling, but I'm way more, like, if they were just going to say, oh, it'll be on Steam like all the other Activision stuff, I would have said, cool. But I don't know if I'd even get excited about it. Now I'm actually excited about it because, for whatever reason, just the aura of Blizzard quality has a way of transferring to other people.
True story.
And Bungie's a respected, you know, they birthed Halo. They're a big deal. And
they birthed Halo.
it was a rough labor. They had to push hard, and there it
came. That big old space thing, and that was.
Oh yeah, you got to put. You want to push Master Chief through your Vajuju? You don't want to.
No.
Anyway, I'm very excited about it. Other stuff, of course, are no dedicated servers, not super high on the minimum specs things for PC. They're trying to be like Blizzard. They're trying to make it available as many as possible. No Mac version that I'm aware of. So the launcher for Mac still only supports Hearthstone, Diablo, Heroes of the Storm, World of Warcraft, StarCraft. Does not support Overwatch yet anyway, or I guess potentially Destiny. So,
right.
We shall see. The console versions are going to come first. They're going to get it. We don't know what that means because we know both are coming in the fall. We just don't know what the separation is. Hopefully it's like a week or two or something is all. So consoles, PS4, Xbox One, and all their iterations will be getting it. There are no plans for a Switch port. There are a bunch of game system changes that we don't have to get super into. If you're playing Destiny 1 already, you already know you want Destiny 2, so I'm preaching to the choir. If you didn't like how Destiny 1 played, I don't know that this is going to change anything for you. It looks like definitely more Destiny to me. But they've got new class changes, super abilities and how they work are changing. Weapons have been revamped entirely. They have primary, secondary, and heavy weapons classes. Three slots will be kinetic, energy, and power. You get the idea. Some systems changes across the board that are refinements, but at the core of it, it's basically Destiny.
I have a question.
Yeah.
Kinetic versus energy.
Yeah.
What's the difference?
I know that makes no sense, right? All right. So kinetic would be like, let me move this box and throw it at you. So like pick it up, kind of Half-Life 2 style, pick up a big boulder and throw it at a dude's head. That's kinetic. Or push them back, like force push. I would call that kinetic also. Energy would be like lightning guns.
Gotcha.
That sort of stuff.
I'm going to get this confused every time in the game.
Yeah, it's fine. Listen, this Destiny 2 went from maybe to yes for sure for me. I think there are probably a lot of other players out there who are interested in the PC side. I've never liked it on console because I do not like shooters on consoles generally. Some of them. I mean, some you can only get there, right? This game always felt like it should have been on PC. And I would argue Halo always should have been on PC as well. And even though it kind of is in some ways, the fact that Halo isn't simultaneously published by Microsoft on both platforms is mind-boggling to me. But anyway, they're changing the multiplayer as well. It's going to be 4v4 only, so no more big groups against big groups. That's the Crucible system.
Right, helps. It's going to help with the load, right?
Yep. They're going to have a season pass for this thing. Oh, you can pay for it with the Blizzard currency, which is crazy, because right now you can kind of make money in World of Warcraft with the system they have for the tokens that let you play for a month, whatever. It's all about gold and exchange rates and everything. Without getting into it too much detail, we talk about it a bunch on the instance, but in theory, you could pay for you could pay from your Blizzard balance, Blizzard bucks, whatever the hell you want to call them. You could pay for Destiny 2 that way, which is kind of cool.
Blizzard bits.
Blizzard bits. There you go. Nailed it. There's a new story, obviously. They're going to flesh that out a little bit more.
I'm interested in the story. I felt like I got cheated in the first one just a little bit.
Yeah, big time. I would say more than a little bit. I think that first one was downright disappointing for me. I know it has its fans, and I don't want to disparage anybody's love of anything. This is just me talking, but I think Destiny 1 was one of my biggest disappointments that year. Did not feel like it lived up to its potential.
Right. So after Trevor, this was your second biggest.
Well, freaking Trevor, dude. Like, listen, right. If I could have at least killed a dude while I was moving those containers around, that would have been fine.
That would have ratcheted up a little bit. Yeah. Maybe do some kind of eraser kind of thing, like with Arnold Schwarzenegger, where he's moving those boxes and he's also fighting people at the same time.
That's right. You could do that. Yeah. By the way, those guns, those rail guns are probably, I'd classify them as energy and kinetic.
Yeah, they're both. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Because they have like force push kind of quality to them, but they also shoot, I guess, energy. Dude, Eraser was a weird movie.
That was a great movie.
Was it great?
It was weird, but it was a great movie.
Would you say great or just weird? Because I think maybe weird.
Right. Weird.
Yeah. Didn't great. Have the penthouse lady in it? What's her name?
It did. She's just down to penthouse lady now. I think it was Playboy, but yeah, she was a beauty contestant as well. Great actress, but that lady that posed with her.
What was her name?
Spread.
I can't think of her name.
She was
Miss America.
And I will look.
She was Miss America, right?
Right. Eraser movie, film. It was
Vanessa Williams. And it was Penthouse. I was right.
Yeah. But it was okay. Well, you know your porn.
1980. 1980 something that happened. It was a long time ago.
Was it? Oh, yeah. The movie was 96, but she did her little spread, if you will, in the 80s.
I think it was actually kind of artsy fart. I don't think it was like their typical.
Right.
I don't remember. Right. I never saw it. Anyway, here's the point. The point is Destiny 2. It's coming. It's happening. Good. No Switch port. Sorry, folks.
Mm.
Two major consoles. PC finally. Should have happened with the first one. And no Switch port. At least at this time. They are not talking about doing that. That could change. Switch has taken off like crazy. Third parties are definitely interested. That game seems like it might scale pretty well, so I don't know why they wouldn't, but hey, what do I know about third-party support? Activision and Bobby Kotick, they have their own ideas. They're going to do what they want to do, and we just have to sit here grooving on it. All right, E3 is right around the corner. What are we, 2 weeks? 3 weeks?
2 weeks is the... Yes, well, 3 weeks, I think. Three weeks.
3 weeks. Yeah, let's not have June move too fast. Nerdtacular's that month, and I'm already behind, so it's going to be nuts. But anyway, E3 is coming. We have the schedules. We know when everyone is speaking now. We know when all the keynotes are. And just like Black Friday and other weird things like that in culture, they are moving... It used to be, remember when midnight movies, you went at midnight to see the premieres?
Yeah, that was the thing. Is how do you legally get here?
Yeah.
You go as soon as it's 12:01.
Yeah, now you can go like Wednesday at 7:30 in the afternoon or in the evening.
Yeah,
it's the dumbest thing.
Crap.
I don't get it. So everyone keeps fudging stuff. E3 is not immune to this. You can now start Saturday, if you're so inclined, with E3. Here's how it's going to go. Let me get the schedule here. Here we go. EA is Saturday, June 10th, 12 p.m. Pacific time. So that's noon for me, 2 for you. Microsoft on Sunday, June 11th, 2 p.m. Pacific time. Bethesda, same day at 7 p.m. So that's what, like 10 your time?
Nine? Yeah. Right. Something like that.
10, I guess. Yeah. I always look forward to Bethesda, so I'm actually really looking forward to that one. The PC Gaming Show, which is... It's been horrible 2 years in a row. Let's see if they can make it a trifecta and make it a three terrible things.
Don't make it the PC gaming crap show.
Yeah, it was so bad the last 2 years. It was terrible. And before anyone starts going, hey, Day 9 was great. Day 9 was not my problem. I like him. It was, Sean Plock, and he's a great guy. But that format was bad. It's bad. Mm. And it did no favors for PC gaming, in my opinion. Anyway, Ubisoft on Monday. Sorry. So the PC gaming show Monday at 10. That same day, Ubisoft at 12 p.m. Pacific. They go an hour. Sony is that night at 6 p.m. They always kind of are the big one to go last. And especially with Nintendo not doing a main stage thing anymore. Devolver Digital has one that they say they're doing. They're gonna announce it. And man, can I just tell you, some of my favorite indie games of the last 5 years have all been published, developed, or somehow involved with Devolver Digital. You know the name. Like, you'll play like Broforce and you'll see their name at the top, or you'll play like, gosh, I can't think of them all. But Devolver's awesome. They're great. I have yet to play a game they made or helped make that I didn't like. So the idea that they're doing a conference is crazy.
Right after Sony, right?
Like, yeah. We don't know. Yeah. We think it's sometime between Monday and Tuesday. It could be Tuesday. And then Tuesday, Nintendo's doing their,
hey, watch us. We're not coming.
Video
you can
deal.
Watch this video.
Yeah. And then they'll have their treehouse all week and all that stuff. Now, here's the cool thing about it. While those conferences happen, a combination of sorts of me, you, and Patrick. Sometimes it'll be just me and Patrick. Sometimes maybe just me and you, depending on hours and times and stuff. Patrick Beja from the Pixel Show over there on FrenchSpin.com. You guys know him. You love him. My co-host on The Instance. We'll be doing live coverage of those conferences, and we'll record them all. We'll put them all on the podcast feed as well as video. And I'm very much looking forward to that.
We're going to do it live.
Yeah, I'm excited. We always have a great time. It's always a big laugh. Having you there will be an awesome new treat. So look forward to that, everybody.
Now, is Patrick going to be local to E3 this year?
He's going to not be local. He'll be in France or in Finland. And either way, that makes him dubiously tired. Like the third day, he turns into the sweariest, swarthiest, grumpiest Frenchman you've ever heard. Like, I've heard him just go, what is they talking about now? Is that just some effing shit? You know, just swears. And
he gets tired, starts going back and forth between English and French and just that kind of thing.
I love it. He does. I love it. And I want more of it in my life. So anyway, E3 coming fast. Well, Brian, I also have for you here some news from the Overwatch team. I have some friends whose favorite thing about Overwatch are the animated shorts. They don't even play the game. They just want to see more story and see more of these short films that they made. Mm-hmm. You saw all that, right? You've seen all that.
I've seen most of the short films. I started watching the Hanzo trailer last night, which I had missed.
It's a good one. Yeah, the brothers one.
Yeah,
the two dragons. Yeah. You know that the narrator is? That's that Kerry Tawi Kawawa or whatever his name is who did...
Kawi Katawa.
He was Shang Tsung in the Mortal Kombat movie, the first one. Anyway.
Yeah.
That's a great thing. And they're making more. Jeff Kaplan calls it season two. He says, the animated shorts are probably the thing that we have the most fun making. That's interesting. Don't you think?
Mm. It's kind of...
You think the game would be, right? You think the game would be the funnest.
Absolutely. But is that more marketing? It's kind of like whatever you're talking about, that's the most fun and exciting thing at that moment.
Maybe. Probably is a little bit of a spiel, right?
Right.
That's what these guys do. Anyway. Right.
You know what I love? I love taking a poo. It's just like whatever you're doing right that moment is just like the most exciting thing.
I never liked doing that, though.
No?
He says, went on to explain, we really love working with our animation group and digging out the stories not tied to any constraints of gameplay. We can tell you any stories we want. We plan to do more of those, and we are hard at work on some of those now. So, that's good news if you like that stuff. Brian, my recommendation to you is, you've seen the Hanzo Genji one, right?
Right. I've seen a couple of them.
See, first of all, you should watch them all. They're all great. Right. But make sure you see, if you have to see just one more, make sure you see the Bastion one.
Mm.
It is really, really good. Maybe the last one they did, let me think.
Is that the Soldier 76 one? Is that
no, that's a different one. No. The Bastion one is with Bastion, the turret character dude. Not Torbjorn, but the robot.
Gotcha.
And it's like, it deals with PTSD in a weird way. And like, it's really good. It's so good. It's some of the best work they've ever done there, story-wise. And then, I think it's not the last one they did. The last one they did would have been the cinematic trailer for... What's her name? The one that hacks everything.
Sombra.
There you go, Sombra. Oh, my brain. I just played the game yesterday. Come on, Scott. Get it together, buddy.
Speaking of playing the game.
Yeah. Oh, you got it now. You got Overwatch. Why aren't you playing Overwatch?
I got it. So when should I start? Do I need a team? What do I need to do? I've got the game in my possession. Do I just start up and do like I do every other game and just hop right in and well, ruin everything, or listen, do I need to like?
This is what you do there, Grandpa. You get in.
All right.
What do I do?
What do I do? I don't even know what this thing does.
You get in there and you just start playing quick matches. You will be matched with similar people who are just new to the game. That's how the system works. There are enough people playing it too that you're never going to get stuck with some hotshot, you know, awesome pro player or whatever. Just start working your way through that. Start leveling your characters so you can kind of see how that loot box system works, and just play. It's a shooter. You've got enough Quake and Unreal experience in you to immediately make everything familiar for you. You're not going to go in there and go, oh no, I don't know how to. This game is steeped in those traditions.
Right. Especially, so I don't need like a crew or anything to walk in there with me to.
No, I'll go with. I mean, I'll play with you just because I want to play and have fun. The only problem with me going in with you is that we'll crank up the MMR in the match, which means the other team could really work us or could work you. Right. But I think you're good enough and smart enough. People like you. It's an old Star Wars or SNL reference.
I don't know why it's Star Wars. But, Al Franken, right?
Yeah, Al Franken, Senator Al Franken. That's the world we live in now.
That's it.
He's a senator. We have a president. It used to be a reality show star. We have.
And I'm not entirely convinced he's not in one right now.
Yeah, he might be in one now. And then we got you know, it's a weird time to be alive. A guy named Anthony Weiner did a lot of things with his wiener. That's my favorite of all of it. His name is Weiner, and the thing that is got him in all the trouble is his wiener.
His wiener, yeah.
It's the best. But anyway, so point is, let's get in. We should play. It's the best game. It's so good. It's the best shooter on the market right now. Like straight up.
And the videos are just, they remind me of all those great TF2 videos. Mm-hmm. A little bit of backstory, but this is a little bit more polished.
A little more high end. Yeah, I would agree. But you know, clearly they owe and they've said as much. They owe some of their success to great games that came before it. Team based shooters, mm-hmm. especially. Something like Team Fortress 2. I wonder if this will ever inspire Valve to quit being the Steam company and actually make video games again. And I wonder if a TF3 is ever in the making, or if that would provide Overwatch with its first real modern competition if they did.
Right.
But I don't know if they have it in them anymore. I don't know if we'll ever see Portal again. I don't know if Half-Life ever gets made again. Like, between Dota and Steam, I just don't know what else they want. I don't blame them. Steam's, you know, Valve's just sitting there counting money.
Right.
So why would they go through all the pain and trouble of trying to develop really hard video games? Because they used to be one of the best. And, you know, I don't know.
They're one of the great test beds for indie games, too. So, I mean, they've definitely changed their.
Oh, yeah. They're a different business now. You know what they're like? Yeah. I was saying this on Current Geek the other day. Were you on there? No, that was the week before you were on there. I had this conversation about Odeo. Do you remember in like 2006, there was a podcast company. They were trying to make podcast tools called Odeo.
Right. I remember that. Yes.
And Odeo was a company they were struggling to make happen. And on the side, they had this dumb idea one day at lunch that they should work on some little social networking thing. And they kept dinking with it. Well, if you go back and look, it was freaking Jack Dorsey and crew, and they made Twitter as a side project. It was like a little fun thing they were going to do. Well, look at them now. They're not the Odeo company. They're freaking Twitter.
That's right. They're Twitter.
So we shouldn't be surprised that Valve Valve doesn't make video games. They are Steam now. That's just that's who they are now. I mean, I'm coming to grips with it. I think the world should.
It is sad they can't release some of that stuff and go, okay, look, we're going to trust you with our Team Fortress. Mm-hmm. Do something else. Because it really started with a Quake mod anyway, right?
Yeah, it did. It was a Quake mod, and those guys even hired them. Like, the Quake mod people worked at Valve for a while and made the Team Fortress games, and including the mod for Half-Life that was great, and then actual Team Fortress 2, which was awesome. Like, I just feel, I would feel bad if that's the entire legacy of Team Fortress is done.
Right.
Like, is that it? Is that all we're ever going to get? Or are you guys going to step up and like make a video game ass video game?
Do it.
And compete with Jeff Kaplan and crew at Blizzard, because right now they're eating everybody's lunch on this kind of shooter. They're just killing it.
Right. The rumors started here.
Yeah. Right here on the show. Remember who you were and where you were when you were here. All right. What? Oh, yeah. Didn't I already play that one? I think I played that one. It doesn't matter. I don't care. Keeping track of what
we either need one less blip or we need one more
song.
Music
yeah.
note.
I don't
yeah.
know what we've got. I do know this, though, that you've got a beef. Brian's beef, we're calling this. It's not really a segment, but I like to call it Brian's beef. Is that new? Why do I have? I have some memory that we've called something Brian's beef before.
I wouldn't think we've done Brian's beef before. Like I'm not sure, but it's okay. We're going to use it again. So,
like an old ELR thing. Anyway, go ahead. Right. Tell me what your beef is.
Here's my beef. So I like hot dogs. There's a simple, frustrating reason you can't play Xbox games with PlayStation owners online, according to BusinessInsider.com. There's a unfortunate players, unfortunately, players on those two consoles, and they're speaking of Xbox and Sony, can't actually play the game with each other online. So there's a lot of games that you can't play online with others on different consoles, different platforms, including PC.
Right.
And they're like, hey, is this a technical issue or is this just some asinine business play?
Yeah.
My guess is business play, because I think most of this stuff is built on, we've talked about this before on the show, most of it's built on the same architecture now. We're not using different processors. We're all on the same, we're all kind of on the same page. Really, the question is, do I want to let you talk through my communication device on PC or this other console?
Yeah. And, I mean, if you think about it, they have no more excuses. The old excuses used to be that, because you're like, well, Power PC for 360 and the Infinity Engine or whatever the hell it was called for, I can't remember what it was called, for Sony. And that's hard because they're cross-platform. And then Nintendo's got their own thing. Well, now everything across the board, I guess outside of the Switch, are all PC architecture. They don't have that excuse anymore. So now it's coming it's coming to light, really, the real reasons. And it's like, well, Microsoft Live Service wants people to pay for it. And if you're communicating with somebody over Steam for free, they're not getting money for whatever bandwidth they use on their side for that kind of stuff.
Right. Maybe they should charge us an ATM size fee for us to use their communication service. What do you think about that?
According to Jeff Kaplan, he says, the game director of Overwatch, this is one of the games under scrutiny for this. He says it's a mix of technical and business reasons. He said this in New York City at the event's 1 year anniversary event. He says right now the two platforms, in particular Xbox to PlayStation, is not an open ecosystem. They're very closed off from each other, and it's very hard to cross those boundaries. I think that makes sense from a development standpoint, and the business reasons are the console manufacturer's reasons. But then once in a while, something slips through. So if you and I wanted to play a game against each other in Rocket League,
right, if this is a prime example.
Yeah, if you're on PlayStation and I'm on PC, we can play.
Right.
No problem. In fact, that's how they mix the two groups. I don't think if you're on an Xbox version of that you can play with either of the two other ecosystems that I know of.
I think
Microsoft may be the bigger issue, because it sounds like Sony can make exceptions. You know what I mean?
Right, right. They've been a little more accepting of this.
Maybe not with each other. You know, maybe with each other they won't be. But I wish even just games that had, I wish they had like more shared leaderboards and stuff. Like even if it's not just, even if it's not me and you shooting each other in the same space, it'd be nice if I could at least say, oh, my buddy Brian, who's on Steam, and my friend Larry, who's on Xbox, and here's me over on PlayStation. I can see how everyone's doing. That isn't eating anyone's bandwidth.
Right. Now, you know, this opens an interesting question. Why can't a third party handle that? Make some APIs so I can, you know, get that information and you know, and pull it somewhere and make useful information out of it. No, because that doesn't benefit them. I'm sorry,
but also, I mean, the developers would have to, or well, I guess the platform holders would have to give you hooks to all that stuff, right? They'd have to have open APIs so you could tie into it and do it. And I know some of that happens with some services, but like speaking of Blizzard, they're very closed about their data and how they rank people in Heroes of the Storm. So to get that, the best way we can is through a third party like Hotslogs. But Hotslogs requires you to upload your replay data, and they get enough replay data uploaded that they can then sort of extrapolate who the most winning characters are right now, what best comps are, what percentage drop do they have since a patch or whatever. But it's kind of arbitrary because they don't have the real numbers. They only have this sort of forced number thing. It's like kind of like browser scraping versus getting an actual API.
Right.
So long and the short of it is I just don't know how the Sony or the Microsoft ecosystem ever comes to a place where they want to work with each other.
Right.
I think they may, you know, like Sony has, they may olive leaf off to PC occasionally and just say, hey, yo, PC players, you can play with us too. I think that will happen more and more, like Rocket League.
Right. There's a very personal story behind my frustration with this. And it goes back to, we all love Roger White, Ralphie, mm-hmm. In our community. We lost him this past year.
Yep.
Me and him spent many, many hours trying to get Rocket League, because he had it on PC and I had it on the PS4.
Yeah.
And we tried to, every time they would start working on making that connect, we tried and we'd hop on and we'd test it and we never had any luck.
Well, it's because the friends list could never cross over, right? Like that was the thing you could never do. You could randomly get matched with somebody from the PlayStation 4, but you had no, it had to be a shot in the dark.
Right. Yeah. And so eventually, you know, we tried many times, and eventually it was just like, it got to the point that it was no fun anymore trying to do it. And Ralph hit me up a couple of times about doing it and we just never met up again. And now we can't do it. So
no, you can't
there's
do it.
My
yeah,
beef.
That's a bummer. Right. That's a good beef. I think it's a fair beef. I think a more open cross-platform strategy would benefit every party, because people are still going to go with the platform they want. There's no reason why me being cross-platform with PlayStation 4 is going to, there's nothing about that that makes me go, oh, I should go buy a PlayStation 4 instead of this Xbox I have. That's dumb.
Right.
So I don't know what they're worried about. I really don't. I don't get it. Mm. It's like anything with this stuff. Like, open up, man. Let it flow. Let the crowd do what it's going to do. They're going to do it anyway, right?
Right. So, open it up. Damn it.
Yeah, they'll figure out a way around it. That's why I love the PC so much. It's just so damned open.
It is.
And you can do everything. So get a PC. I guess
but we're not biased here on the Boop Show.
I guess that's what I'm saying is go get yourself a damn PC. Let's get into some emails. Got a couple of them here. They came to us at boopshow@gmail.com. Actually, one of these, I think, came through the Boop Reddit.
Right, subreddit.
Let's read that one. It says, thank you, Brian Dunaway.
Hey.
Is the title. It was submitted by Miko. We've heard from Miko a few times in the
we have.
Community. Mm-hmm. Says this. You mentioned this subreddit in the last episode, which I listened to on my way home from work. So, first of all, thank you for that. Secondly, my main point is posting this. Or in posting this is, are you, Scott, and Patrick going to do live coverage of the E3 stuff? Yes, we are. We just mentioned it. The shows were amazing, and I loved tired, cranky Patrick. Insert F-bomb clip here. I am hoping you guys can do it, but I don't know how time-consuming these things are these days for everybody, and I know everyone is super busy. Either way, you guys all rock. Also get Ibbit on the E3 stuff, because I think the BBBS team, Scott, Brian, and Beja team, Triple BS... would be hilarious. P.S. I love you, says Miko. Probably not Ibbit, but definitely the B, and the S. So BBS. Yes. Oh, bulletin board system. Look at that. That's kind of cool. I didn't realize
BBS.
We were... Yeah, we made our own little acronym there. Thanks for that. And yes, to confirm everything we said earlier, we will definitely be doing that. Very much looking forward to it. Keep using that, by the way. Boop.reddit.com, right?
Boop. It's Reddit.
Well, it's boop. Sorry, boopshow.reddit.com. It's where you can
Boop Show.
Boop Show. Right. You can do the whole /r crap if you want, but
yeah,
all those URLs work if you put them in front, which is nice.
Yeah.
There's also a Frog Pants one if you want to get on that one. It's at frogpants.reddit.com as well.
Sometimes I cross post there.
Here's a question from Eric, or an email from Eric from Chesapeake, Virginia. It says this: I am loving the return of the show and having Brian along for the ride. You guys discussed a game last week that was that needs a controller, or rather, quote unquote, needs, meaning has to have one. What would you recommend for a good PC controller? The last one I used was an old serial one from my college days. It's repurposing a retired 360 controller or stealing one from an Xbox One an option. I am a big, big fan of the Xbox controllers generally on PC. They've been great for years. I am now using a combination, depending on my mood, of a PlayStation 4 controller, which worked great, no problem. If you have Bluetooth connection, it just syncs right up. That and a wired Xbox One controller that I have.
Right.
And both do a great job. I like the feel of the D-pad, especially on the PlayStation 4 controller, a lot more. So when I'm playing a D-pad-centric game, that's a much better choice. But the Xbox One controller has been awesome. So... you can't really go wrong with either one, but you want to get wired or at least the charging cable for the Xbox One controller, because you have to have I think it's a dongle. Maybe this has changed. Did this change with the new Xbox S revision?
Now, last time I saw you said have a dongle. Has it changed?
You had to have a dongle. Maybe that's right. Changed now with the newer ones. I could be wrong about that. Also, their D-pad's better on the newer one. So maybe my best suggestion is actually an Xbox One controller for the most recent Xbox One S console.
Right.
Which you can buy for like $49 or whatever.
Yeah, and the 360 you can pick up really cheap, and it's got a lot of support through that. If you do emulation, the 360 controller is great. I haven't really tried the Xbox One yet. I've done a little bit of the PS4. Mm-hmm. I also use my Steam controller, which lasts forever, by the way, on the battery. But since it's a little bit different configuration, it plays pretty well inside Steam, but outside games, it's hit or miss.
I have that controller as well, and I'm
okay.
Split on it. Yeah. There's things I like about it, and there's things I don't like about it. I don't think it's constructed all that well. It feels creaky to me.
Yeah. That's because it's literally creaky, because when you move your thumb over the pad, it's got like a little little effect that goes
kind of obnoxious that way. But
it is.
The nice thing about 360 and Xbox One controllers is every game that uses a controller, it will be mapped for that, because it's almost like the standard default now. You're seeing standard default configurations for Sony as well, but also that's on a kind of a more per game basis, or you can have a little third party thing that's real small that does that. Mm-hmm. I don't know why Sony's taking so long to get PC compatible drivers specifically for their controllers. It's very weird, but many games just straight up use them now. So you can get away with both. With the PlayStation 4 being so dominant right now, it's kind of a no-brainer for these games to support both. But overall, you kind of can't go wrong. And there's some pretty good third-party stuff, like some decent Logitech controllers that are basically 360 controllers in configuration, and those work great. I think those are all pretty good choices. I don't know if it works or not, but I wonder if these pro controllers from Nintendo will work if I plug them in.
Ooh, I bet they won't, but you can try. You can certainly use the Wiimotes. There's some stuff out there for that. You can connect it through Bluetooth, I believe.
Yeah.
And it's hit or miss.
Sure.
Sorry. It's fun to play around with.
Do you ever do like sticks or like driving wheels or any of that kind of stuff?
My dad found an old Logitech Wingman. Stick. So yeah, right. I gotta plug it up to see if it's gonna be fun to play with. But yeah, I do occasionally. I also have a steering wheel here somewhere as well, but I haven't used that in forever. That's a lot of work.
Oh yeah, no, that's a whole box of chicken wings right there.
It is, man. It's like you got to put the pad down, and you got to move the stick, and then you got to clamp it down to your desk, and then it's not good.
No, it's too much work. We don't like
too much work.
Work sucks. And we love your emails though. Boopshow@gmail.com. All right, we're going to take our leave. It's been a good episode, everybody. Thank you all for listening to us. We'll be back next week, and we'll do more. And certainly, as E3 gets closer, two things happen. Either weird leaks happen, or nothing happens. So I'm really curious about what will happen next week. And I also like the idea of Brian have a beef here and there. So maybe you'll have a new beef by next week. I like beefs.
Something's always pissing me off.
Yeah, something's always got you worked up. But in the meantime, make sure you check us out on the web, frogpants.com/BOOP. That's frogpants.com/boop. You can find everything there, including our email address, ways to call us and leave voice messages. Our Twitter account is Boop Show. Brian's at the Brian Dunaway. I'm at Scott Johnson. And our music today brought to you by the Schnauzer Radio Orchestra. You can also support the show by giving it to our Frog Pants Patreon over at patreon.com/frogpants. Consider it if you enjoy the show and you like the content. It'd be great if you did. You can also buy stuff on the store. That's at frogpants.com as well. So go check that out. And do not forget our Reddit pages, boopshow.reddit.com and frogpants.reddit.com. Brian, I think that's going to do it. Anything else you'd like to add?
Game development still going on. I switched my Python Pi game to something a little more polished called Python Arcade. And it's a little bit easier for me to understand, as I'm not very smart.
All right. Well, more details on that as we get closer. I also started my arcade MAME cabinet. I will, I'll get pictures and stuff. People can start looking at that. It's going to do it for us, for me and for Brian. We'll see you next week on the next Beep Here. Beep. Beep.
This show is part of the Frog Pants Network. Yes. Get more at frogpants.com.